Number 11.
From the Director of Audit's Office of the Comptroller, submitting an audit report titled Milwaukee County Transit Plus On-Time Performance and Customer Satisfaction Generally Are Bad, Are Good, but Better Oversight of Vendor Complaint Resolution Efforts is Needed. This item was referred to the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit, who at their last cycle meeting approved the recommendations of audit, and the board adopted those recommendations at the February meeting cycle. So this item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
We don't need to do any direction, just information. Mr. Hare.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jerry Hare, Comptroller's Director of Audits. This audit was conducted under direction from the board to look at Transit Plus quality of service and potential for fraud. Let me start with the quality of service. Our work indicates that there is a fairly high level of customer satisfaction with the Transit Plus van services. 88% indicated that they're always satisfied or satisfied most of the time with their paratransit services. And 82% said they're almost always or most of the time on time for pickups. The on-time performance, in fact, averaged about 95.7% during the period that we audited. This is based on a 25-minute buffer time, and we found that the instances where there was a lack of timeliness generally correlated to those months that can be the most problematic, especially this year from December through March. The one area we did have some suggestions on the quality piece had to do with the way in which complaints are handled. Right now, complaints are directed to the vendors, to the transportation providers. There are two companies that provide paratransit van services. And that does involve a more direct and immediate response to clients, but we think Transit Plus management could strengthen their own oversight of how those vendors manage complaints. To keep that in perspective, really there are less than 0.2% in complaints based on the total number of transit rides that were provided. We did, during the audit, decide to include one element of transit services that was increasingly gaining attention from the legislative body here, and that's a very specific incident with a client who died after a paratransit ride. I want to be very clear, we did not conduct an investigation. We do not weigh in on who is right or who is wrong, but we do offer two observations. One is that the nature of this service calls out, we believe, for a video recording of incidents on site, that just like with the large transit buses, the smaller vans should have video to keep a record of what's happening on the trips. The related question that we raised has to do with the nature of securing patients in the vans. The FTA provides guidance that we think is in need of some additional thought and deliberation by MTS and MCDOT Corp Council, just to look at the appropriateness of our policies and procedures in keeping our patients safe. Moving on to fraud, I may have mentioned when this report was under consideration by this board, one of the first multimillion-dollar frauds that our office was involved in when I got here in the early 80s involved paratransit. We sent 18 cab drivers to prison. I'll never forget the headline on the Journal Sentinel said, "Dead people ride cabs." And that's because back then we were being charged for services to clients that were no longer live. So we've always had an interest in fraud controls within the paratransit program. We have over the years checked in from time to time. And this time, again, as in 05 when we did a more extensive review, we found that there are fairly good fraud controls on both the fixed van services, the on-demand van services, I should say, and the cab services. You know, I do need to point out, though, that on the cab services, that comes at a price. The last time we checked in, we saw about $10,000 worth of potential fraud with cab services. We note that that has been, even that relatively small amount has been severely diminished, but it comes at a price. The 2012 fee that we paid for cab service management was at $6 a ride, it amounted to $370,000. Now, that wasn't a $10,000 for $370,000 trade-off. There are other aspects of the service that obviously come into play. But we just point that out as something that you should be aware of, and especially since that is a service that is out for competition, I believe, as we speak. The contract is out for RFP on the street. A couple other quick points, Mr. Chairman. We looked at the eligibility determination in our focus groups with clients. There were some questions raised about how frequently people needed to be brought in for eligibility determinations. Obviously, somebody who's been, for example, without sight since they were born, they're going to be without sight probably for the remainder of their life. So we were curious about the extent to which they were being required to come in for recertification on permanent disabilities. And we were fairly pleased to find that there were not a lot of issues with reassessment. There seemed to be good judgment exercised. We did note, though, a variety of responses from clients to different types of eligibility determinations. So once again, we're just suggesting that management should try to find a way to make sure that any disparities or differences in judgment be kind of smoothed out by the management side. We also checked the background of drivers. This is a very vulnerable client population that we serve, so we were keenly aware of your concern about the quality of the people providing the direct service. And we just found one individual who was at the House of Correction for participating in armed robbery during the course of our audit. And when we provided this information to the vendor, the driver was terminated. Our last point has to do with TPAC. There's an existing group that provides input to the paratransit program. We think that we need to put some more attention on getting those members appointed in accordance with their bylaws. It's been a group that's been sort of self-sustaining over the years, and if we're going to use it to provide valuable input to the program, we should probably get our hands around, you know, who are these individuals, who appoints them, and how are they conducting their business. In response to our presentation to Finance Personnel Audit, Supervisor Jurczyk also suggested that we work with MCDOT on checking whether that service would be more appropriate or compatible with the services of the Aging and Disability Resource Center. That and all of the issues we identified in the report, we're targeting for a report back to you in July. Now, having said that, as you've just been talking for the last hour, there are a lot of we're juggling a lot of balls in the air right now. So this audit, our work on the fare box, our follow-up on the emergency paratransit contract, we're targeting July, but I think if you look at what lies before you and the department, we may need to come back to you and ask for a little more time on that to kind of deal with the bigger issues first and these audit issues later. But for now, we're targeting July. As Clerk noted, Mr. Chair, the committee at Finance approved the resolution. The full board approved the resolution, so there is concurrence by the board with these recommendations. If any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at this time. Thank you.
Senator Bukowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not really a question, but a compliment. I will tell you that Tracy Harrington from MTS's shop is an amazing clearinghouse. Anytime that I've had issues, I will tell you that I know she's our employee at MTS, right? And I know that she has coordinated, be it with Transit Plus or First Transit or whatever. And I can't say enough about her, so please send along those regards.
Mr. Chairman, we had great cooperation with Tracy and with MTS Management as well, and we were very heartened by the level of satisfaction that we found with this service. Obviously, if you're a person who's sitting for 4 or 5 hours waiting for a ride and you're in that, you know, 1.6% or whatever, it's important that management makes sure that doesn't happen again, but we were pleasantly surprised with the customer statistics and with the way management addressed those issues.
Any other comments? Sir, Washon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, this is for Mr. Dranzik. Back a few months ago, we passed a resolution directing the county executive to negotiate with the city of Milwaukee for cab regulation. But also with that was a directive to create a dispatch service, a nonprofit dispatch service. As is pointed out in here, that the paratransit cab service contract is out to bid. Maybe you could give us an update on your efforts to create this nonprofit dispatch service.
Mr.
Chairman, committee members, I think the view of that initiative was comprehensive with the taxi cab resolution itself. I think there's been some opinion on that recently that it's not something that the county can take on. So I think it was viewed more as a comprehensive package than singling out particular items.
Mr. Chairman, my response to that, there were two directives in there, one to go negotiate with the city and two, develop a dispatch service for cabs because, as we see with this paratransit contract, I believe in the first RFP process, they only had one respondent, and now it's being reissued again. The service is the contract is supposed to end in May. I'm not sure where you got the opinion that you were supposed to forego one or the other.
Mr. Drafted.
Mr. Chairman, I think that comes with the review that the entire taxicab proposal was under. I think there's been a number of places where that's gone back and forth, both for legal opinion that's gone through the city's process. There was also discussion with the city on doing some cooperative initiatives, whatever that may be, and then some review by the state itself in terms of what the county's role in providing taxicab service and licensing and so forth could be. That would have included a larger, I think, view of not only are we licensing, but we're then monitoring that cab service. We, you know, that would be dispatching. That's a much larger piece than just singularly one component of that versus the entire package.
Well, once again, Mr. Chairman, that there were two directives. Creating a dispatch service is totally independent of whether or not we can regulate the cab service. Milwaukee County, we currently contract that dispatch service out. We do not contract with a cab company. We contract for dispatch services and then people who subscribe to that service when people call for a cab. So I wish that, one, I think, I'd use the right language here. Don't want to.
Right. Take your time.
Right, exactly. The point that there's somehow that there was a review or opinion, I'd like to know who made that decision, if it was yourself, Corp Counsel, that determined that this dispatch part was somehow irrelevant after a legal opinion.
Corp Counsel, Mr. Drassi, whoever can answer the question.
It's just basically discussions that I had with the county executive's office in terms of the approach to understand what exactly we would be looking at and working with as this taxi cab item was first adopted and discussed and then subsequently moved forward during the course of time.
Well, I don't want to waste any more time, but I find it amazing that you think that you are the arbitrator of what a county board resolution says and what you should implement. So next time you want to notify the board, and we'll rectify the situation at our next meeting.
Okay. Okay, Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This will be a quick one, I hope. I'm looking at page 64 of the audit report, which is discussing MCDOT's responses to the audit recommendations. At the bottom of the page on number 5, it discusses solicitation of paratransit van service proposals should have a requirement that there would be continuous surveillance cameras suitable for assisting in investigations of disputed service complaints in the future. And the response below that says that Transit Plus will develop the next RFP specification for paratransit van service to include a requirement to meet that recommendation. Could someone please explain to us when that next RFP would be and what type of a timeline we're on there? And would that RFP include all vans and all vehicles, or would that just include new incoming vehicles so that we can understand as supervisors and respond to constituents who have contacted us demanding that those changes be made?
Mr. Hare?
Mr. Chairman, I'll take that, and Brian, you can correct me if I misspeak, but my understanding is that we are on a 3-year emergency contract for the two vendors of paratransit van services, and that we were about a year and a little over a year and a quarter into that 3-year cycle. Our belief is that if it's included in the RFP that the vendors provide vans with a certain type of equipment, then they would build that into their pricing. We have seen this kind of an initiative done in a phased manner as well. They may make some criteria in the RFP for over time getting to 100% vans. But I think the only way it would work would be if every van had the cameras, because in any given day, they may deploy their whole fleet or a portion of their fleet to provide the services. So I think we're probably a couple of years away from an RFP hitting a street. Well, maybe less than a couple of years, because we've seen the lead time on these needs to be pretty long, but that would be our understanding.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, I just want to clarify, if I'm thinking this out on the calendar right, that means that the next RFP would take effect, or the results of the next RFP would take effect in the fall of 2015?
I believe so. I think that the contract we looked at for the emergency extension was in the fall of 12, so it would be the fall of 15 would be when we would start up with new contracts.
And the entity negotiating and deciding on those contracts would be MCDOT, as long as there's not some emergency provision invoked as there has been in the past, correct?
Correct. The current existing MTS language puts MTS Inc. in charge of the procurement process or in the RFP process, as well as the determination of an emergency. Their only requirement is that they notify the director of MCDOT. I mean, clearly going forward, if there's a different structure, different contract, we could modify that, but that is the way it works, Supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Haas?
Thank you very much again, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would like to again thank Audit Director Hare and his army of auditors for their very good work. I'm heartened to hear the previous question, actually, which was about the next RFP. When would it be, and if it would include a provision for having video surveillance added to these paratransit vehicles? As I believe you're well aware, Mr. Chairman, it was 2 years ago, almost to the month, that a constituent of mine passed away shortly after a trip on a paratransit vehicle. There are many questions that I will not claim to have an answer to as to how he was restrained in the vehicle, if he was able to get assistance from the driver, and so on. But he was. They do know at some point he was hanging by his neck on a seatbelt strap, choking. I'm here, Mr. Chairman, to ask that this is fulfilled. I'm glad to see that the paratransit company has agreed that this should be added to the next RFP. I would urge this committee and the board's monitoring of that to make sure it does happen. As we know, what happens on a paratransit vehicle is not currently subject to monitoring. So I'm very glad to see that the Department of Audit agreed with that assessment, and my sincere hope is that it will be put into action.
Okay.
With that, I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And since we have no other business, item number 11.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Hare.